This is the ColoradoHockey.com podcast brought to you by AvsFam, absfam.com for the coolest hockey shirts you can't find anywhere else because they're not available anywhere else. Check them out at AvsFam, absfam.com. Holy hell, what a nasty and mean-spirited game that was. I, of course, mean on Twitter and in the can, but the Avs and the Preds game was highly entertaining, and the Avs came out on the wrong end again, but nonetheless, entertaining. It was a good, hard-fought game that may have been a little bit dictated by the refs' inconsistency, but like we always say, you have to beat the refs too. So here's a short list of many of the things that happened in this game that don't happen in every game that you see from the Avalanche. Let's start with number 25, Grigo shooting the puck, not thinking about it, not looking for a pass, shooting the damn puck. 34, shooting the puck and getting in spots where he can shoot the puck with some sort of chance of getting it. One thing that I both love and hate about Soderberg is that he will shoot at anything. If you give him 1 inch of net, he'll try to squeeze that 3 inch puck through that 1 inch hole. When it does work, it's brilliant. Another interesting thing that I saw that we don't see a lot of out there is number 8, hitting. Joel Colburn is a big dude, and you think that he uses that size to his advantage, but he rarely does. He's not that kind of player. He doesn't like to play the physical game, but today he was hitting. I wonder if there was something like, oh, I don't know, trade rumors, deadlines, inspiring him. And then there was number 96, Rantanen, out there pushing and shoving. I mean, this guy has come up through the leagues being the best player in every league he's ever been in, and this league is no different. Once you start playing well enough, people are going to test you. They're going to push you around. They're going to see how you respond, and he did respond. He was pushing. He was shoving. I even think I saw him make a mean face. Watch out, Tyson Berry. There's a new thug in town. Now, if I was ranking this list by the most unlikely of things to happen, two of these would have been at the top, and they are number 32, scoring a goal, and it was a great goal, by the way. Grigo won it back on the faceoff clean. 32, Buschman, had enough time to tap his stick like he was getting ready to hit a golf ball, walk into it, and hit it like Happy Gilmore, and it went right in the net. It was the most brilliant thing I've seen from him all year. And then the most unlikely of things, the one thing that is on everybody's mind, is number 55 wearing a yellow jersey. It was completely wrong. Cody McLeod looks wrong in that jersey, but you know what? He showed up to play tonight and he gave it to the Avs big time. Being the story of the night, Cody McLeod made his presence felt with a fight, a goal, and came a whisker short of completing the Gordie Howe hat trick on Fisher's goal. And you know what? It's not every single time that a player scores in the can for the opposing team that you hear the crowd cheer, but this is an exception, I guess. When McLeod's name came over the loudspeakers, he got the kind of applause you rarely ever hear for an opposing player at the can. Unless, of course, there are more traveling fans in the can than there are Avs fans, which I hear is not uncommon anymore. So let's start with the fight. The fight was against Drew McGinley, who held his own and was kind enough to take the fight from Cody, helping him to make a good impression with his new team. Now, Vic Lombardi was confused by this, and he was quickly schooled by all of Twitter that this was a hockey thing. I'm not sure what he thought was going on, if there was some ill will or what, but I think everybody in the house knew that it was going to happen. They just wondered who it was going to be with, and I don't think anyone thought it was going to be malicious. They do this out of respect for each other, and it's part of the code. I'm not sure what Vic does in his sports world, but minus 50 authentic hockey knowledge points there for him on this one. These guys are probably having a beer as I record this. Oh wait, we got a breaking update here. It turns out that Riker has just challenged Vic to a pillow fight, or is it the other way around? Either way, there's going to be a pillow fight with Riker and Vic Lombardi right after this. So watching the Iggy fight is an interesting and fun event. Why? Because he trains boxing and you can see him trying new things out while he's out there on the ice having these fights, as if it's not a big deal whatsoever. Tonight it was a jab to start the fight before he then grabbed the jersey of McLeod. But the way that he used the jab to get into jersey grabbing range was very clever. I like it a lot. I haven't seen much of that in the NHL before, and I'd like to say that it worked this time. Well played. Now, I don't know if I'd go so far as to say anyone won that fight. It was pretty even, but if there was a tilt either way, I think it was probably towards McLeod on that one. But in what is becoming a series of unfortunate events for the Colorado Avalanche, an ex-Avalanche player comes back to score on them, and this time it only took 2 days after the trade for him to do it. Cody's goal was a classic number 55 goal. He out-hustled the D to get his stick on the ice, and he was strong on his stick long enough to tip the puck in right in the crease, right past Variety, who was not playing very strong. It was poetic and timely for his team, and it was almost as if it had been scripted by the hockey gods and a continuing punishment against the Avs for whatever Pierre Lacroix did to them and to piss them off way back in the day. Okay, a quick kudos here to Dog Nation Hockey Foundation, who tweeted this out. A massive thanks to the Avalanche for acknowledging a miraculously brave individual, Dave D-Rep Repture, as the hero of the game. And we agree. Good on the Avs and Dogs Hockey, and much respect to D-Rep for being an awesome human. Okay, speaking of other awesome humans, Big Z has the most creative hits I've ever seen by a player on skates. 16 took out Fisher on a sliding hip check that I think wasn't even meant to be a hip check at all, but he's so good he does it when he's not even trying. And then he checked the guy on the break. So the guy had a breakaway and he somehow checked him from the side behind sort of, but it was legal and didn't draw a penalty. And then he stood up and went and dropped Neil with a clean hit that had Neil airborne for a good second and a half. It was impressive. So seeing how Big Z was actually playing under control pretty good and doing big hits without taking penalties, I guess Rene Bork felt like he needed to do something that was sort of Big Z of old, something that would get the Avalanche in a bit of trouble, which he did. Bork was ejected from the game in the second period for a boarding major that looked bad. It was ill-advised and clearly caught him off guard as well, because he had a face on like, I can't believe that guy just flopped around like that. Now I filed this one under shit happens because... Well, because shit happens, that's just all there is to it. But he did hit him in a vulnerable spot, but the momentum that Nashville number 28, I forget his name already, had going in was largely amplified by the big swinging dump shot that he was taking in the middle of the ice. He was about 10 feet from the boards when he was taking this, so it didn't take much for Bork to put the guy straight into the boards head first. Just a small tap, no arms extended, none of that from Bork sent him flying head first into the boards, and he actually left a mark or a crack, I couldn't tell what it was, on the boards. It was bad, and you have to expect the refs are going to make that call. We tweeted about it then, we stand by it now, that you have to expect that call on the ice, but I don't see a suspension coming on this one. A lot of that momentum was 38 shooting it into the zone. Again, shit happens. Again, Dick, it's a hockey thing. Uh-oh, breaking news update. The pillow fight between Riker and Vic is now a dance-off. Let's hope that it's not the pants-off, dance-off kind of thing you see on VH1, though. That would be awkward. And with that silliness out of the way, here are some of the positives that we saw come out of this game for the Colorado Avalanche. Starting with faceoffs. Yeah, the Avs are winning faceoffs when they're winning them clean, and in this case, they turned in some really good shots on goal. I dig it, I really do. And in this one, guess who got that goal on one of those faceoffs? Yeah, Beauchemin. I still can't believe it myself. It's amazing, but I love it. I love that we're winning faceoffs and doing something with it. Big fat awesome number two coming out of this game is Big Z, who is not big or fat, by the way, he's just really awesome. It was just an expression, but either way, he is creating a reputation for himself that he should be feared. If you're going to come in that zone around him, you better know what's going on, and you better take care of your gap on that, because he closes it in a hurry and he'll put you in the front row with that big butt of his. And the last big positive I would say is that Landy is playing some inspired hockey right now, be it the trade, be it being a leader, whatever it is that's got him going, he's playing really good hockey. Ah, the inside jokes. We do entertain ourselves. But seriously, everybody's pretty excited about it. I hope that we don't trade Landy because he is capable of playing that good hockey, and lately he's been doing quite a bit of it. So, amen to that. Or, as the Canadians would say, amen. But wait, we're not done. We have other lists too, and this one is the strangest moments of the game for me. Number one, Mac had a really good scoring chance, and then he was quickly talked to on the bench by Coach Bednar, who appeared to be making some sort of karate chop moves towards him. Then the next thing you know, Mac is missing for the first half of the second period, and I can't imagine that it was anything to do with the effort or the play, as Mac was everywhere, as usual, on the ice trying to score goals, but it certainly fits in the strange moments category. I'm not sure what happened there. The other strange moment for me is this whole idea of a day game. It just seems so wrong. I mean, you can't drink beer at noon, can you? Isn't that against some rule somewhere? You can't watch hockey and drink beer at noon? It just seems so wrong, and I don't even know what to do with myself at this point. So my call is no more day games. Let's try to keep this stuff the nighttime if we can. And of course, there was some ugly in this game as well, but you know, there's always somebody covering that somewhere. So check the other podcasts, look on Twitter, whatever you need to do to go out there and get your misery abs suck on if that's your sort of thing. No judgments from us. If that's what you like to do, go do that. We're just going to wrap it up without going there. So this game, every game of late, was an emotional roller coaster if you're invested in the Avs emotionally as I am. We played much of the game with good effort, and even the Bednar system was working on this one. But at the end of the day, we had a couple mental lapses, maybe some effort lapses as well, and it cost us the game. The Cardiac kids did try to make a comeback, or what's left of them tried to make a comeback anyways, but it was just too late. The puck did actually go in the net at one point, but it was quickly called back by the refs who lost sight of it. Air quotes there. Now, the Twitterverse, everyone thought that the ref made a bad call, but it turns out they weren't the only ones. BSN Avalanche reported that Landeskog, in the locker room, said that the disallowed goal was a clear miss by the officials, but he made it very clear that it was a mistake by the officials. So we'll say it again. You have to beat everyone on the ice that isn't wearing your jersey, and that includes the ref every single night. You cannot let the games be so close that the refs decide the fate of your game more often than not. And that seems like the case lately, but the Avs just got to score more goals and not let so many in. It's really that simple. He says with a cocky attitude sitting behind a microphone, but really, I do think that that is the case. We have to be able to take those bad calls. We have to be able to absorb those calls. We can't always play from behind looking for a comeback. We started strong. We gave up 3 goals, and that's what lost us the game, guys. Sad, isn't it? We'll get better. Don't worry about it. It's going to be awesome, and you just wait and see. The Avs are going to take over the NHL once again. This and every other podcast that we do is brought to you by AvsFam, AVSFAM.com. Super awesome hockey shirts for super awesome hockey people. You should go check it out, www.avsfam.com. If you like this podcast, you could send your friends a note with a stamp on it, like old school, or you could just go to coloradohockey.com and click on the button that says get it on iTunes. Or you could go to iTunes and search for Colorado Hockey and then click on the button that says subscribe. Either way, you will then get it in your pocket ready for you whenever you want to consume it. And that is awesome. You're awesome. Stay awesome.